I was 16 years old, about 3 months after the big day, the driver's license. I was working at Burger King, and I would get out about 10 o'clock whenever the store would close. Sometimes it would close earlier, sometimes I guess I would get out later because of whoever showed up. But my dad had a 1964 Ford Galaxy. And I was so privileged to drive that. That was his car in college. And the night was over. I got in the car and I did what every good driver wants to do. They put it in reverse and they look out their back window, and as they're reversing, you don't want to hit any car. This is Dad's baby. And you're backing up, and I back up, and all of a sudden, as I'm looking in the back, I'm hearing this crunch. I was like, oh no, what have I done? At Burger King, they had by the dumpster, and I don't know if you've ever seen these big pillars, probably about yay high, and guess what I had hit through the front of his bumper? As I was backing up at an angle, I hit the front quarter panel of his car. All the way home, I'm wondering how he's going to react about this. What sort of trouble am I going to get in? I get home, and the question is, and it's late, Dad is in bed, what do I do? Do I wake him up and tell him the bad news that I did something in error, or do I wait till morning? With the possibility of him finding out before me telling him. What would you do? I don't think that I would have been able to sleep. So I went to my dad and I told him, I says, Dad, I put a slight dent in your vehicle. He says, okay, well, we'll look at it in the morning. I was awakened in the morning. Stephen! What have you done? That is not a slight dent. It's 2 feet long. And it says, okay, I'm groggy anyway. But the point I want to bring out this morning, and I start every lesson, or try to start every lesson like this, is what do you do? I had made a mistake. I could wait till morning, or I could get it taken care of immediately. This morning, I ask that everybody would commit in prayer of themselves to say, when God shows you something, that specific thing that maybe he's been dealing with you, or maybe it's something totally new, that you won't wait. You'll take care of it today, right now. And if you'll make that commitment with me, will you raise your hand? All right, praise God. Let's seal this in prayer. Father, thank you for who you are. We come to you asking for more of you. We ask for your conviction, your repentance, and reviving in our lives. Father, we've made a commitment to you this morning that when you show us something, that we won't wait. We'll take care of it. Father, use me to bring the burden of your heart. Let the things that break your heart break ours. Let the things that bring you joy bring us joy. Let us be the children, the servants that you want us to be. In your Son's holy name we ask it. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to begin with the topic with a short video. It deals with getting up and not stopping till you succeed. So as we watch this short clip, I'd like you to count the number of times a fall occurs in this video. Don't say it out loud, but just mentally count the number of falls that you see in this video. Falling is something that most individuals experience early in life. And once you get the hang of it, it seems to be easy sailing. But when a fall does happen, it does something to us. Aside from the possibility of suffering physical injury and pain that might have occurred, it does something to our thinking. For some of us, it causes a healthy fear or respect for what was done so it won't happen again. For others, it causes an unhealthy fear that will cripple an individual's desire to get up. This morning, I would like for us to look at some scriptures that will challenge you to get up and walk. And look at some warnings that the Bible presents that can keep us from falling. I want us to begin with a scripture that will encourage you to walk a specific way. So turn in your Bibles to Psalms 84. Psalms 84, if you wouldn't mind. Beginning in verse 11, Psalms 84, 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. One thing a reason a person falls is because their vision is impaired. They can't see very well in the dark. There is something in their path that they don't see or they didn't account for. There may be many things in your path that you don't see and that you don't account for. My dog, Chili, she sleeps at a small mattress at the foot of my bed. She's been sleeping at the foot of my bed for almost 8 years, maybe a little bit longer. You would think after that amount of time, when I get up in the middle of the night or early morning, I would not fall. I can't tell you the number of times that I would have fallen if the wall hadn't stopped me. The only light that I had was the dim light of the alarm clock. And just when I think I know where she has, and I don't know if she does this on purpose, she changes and she moves to a new spot. I don't know if she does this, oh, he tripped over there, so I'm not going to be there anymore. So I move over here and it just trips me up more. Things that I don't account for. I know that there are some smart folks out there that say, Steve, why don't you get a flashlight? That's what a smart person ought to do. And it may surprise you to know that I do have a flashlight. I do have a flashlight just at my little nightstand right there, but you know I don't use it. You know why? There are a couple reasons, but the main one is, quite simply, I believe I can handle it. I believe I can navigate from here to the kitchen or through to the bathroom or wherever I'm going. I believe that I can navigate. I can handle it. Quite simply, I don't value the danger of falling. You may be spiritually living in darkness today. You begin to think, I can handle any problem that comes up. I can sidestep any sin, overcome any obstacle, because you think you know where the problem lies and that you can avoid it. You may be able to avoid it for a short period, but don't count on it. We are living in dark days, and it's getting darker. What at one time used to be accepted, this is black and white. This is right, and this is wrong. Today, we have so many variants of shades of gray in between. We need the light of the sun to expose those areas. What a beautiful scripture Psalms 84:11 is. Because it shows an outcome, allowing God to be the light and expose those things. And as a result, we walk uprightly. There are a good number of scriptures in the Bible that says, God is our light. Now I'm going to read these real quickly. So if you want to write these down, I encourage you to get a pen and paper out now. Psalms 18:28, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. That's Psalms 18:28. Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Isaiah 2:5. O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And Micah 7:8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Let me give what may sound as common knowledge. A light, a lamp, the sun will only be effective in your life if you allow it. In a very similar way with Christ, people have access to the Lord and His Word, but they choose to ignore, forget, and even refuse to allow God to show them things that are going to hurt themselves. You can live in the dark if you want to. And you know, the Bible even identifies why some people live in darkness. If you would turn to John chapter 3. Very familiar scripture, verse 16, we'll begin reading. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, pay attention, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought of God. It never ceases to amaze me the lengths that people go to cover mistakes. I'd watched this short video clip of a man in a gym. Can you imagine? I don't know if you are familiar with what a treadmill is. It's something that you walk on and it keeps, and you get on, you go nowhere, and you start where you started. And this young man had his muscle shirt on, showing every muscle, big old muscles, and he's on there and he's just doing this. He's just doing this nice little cadence. And as he's going, he notices this young lady come in to the gym. And all of a sudden, his eyes were diverted. He starts picking his pace up. And as he's picking his pace up, and he's trying to impress this girl, he keeps his eye. You know how sometimes people will try and look out of the corner of the eye and not see people without looking like you're looking at them? Well, this is what this guy did. And as he looked, he fell on the treadmill. He lost his focus. He fell on the treadmill. That treadmill spun him off. And as that girl had passed, he went into push-up mode to cover his tracks. Instead of looking like he'd fallen, he started doing his push-ups up and down like he was some macho guy. He did what most people like to do, is they don't want to own up to their mistakes. And their pride gets in the way, and instead of acknowledging, oh, I messed up, and embarrassed and taking it, they try and cover it up. Don't let pride keep you from going to the Lord and exposing sins in your life that are hurting you. It's what we just read in John 3. Go to the Lord. Let your works be manifest. Confess them and show. Let God see these things. These are the things that are hurting you. Impaired vision isn't the only thing that causes a person to fall, but a distracted focus. I don't know how many times I've driven to work and I get behind a car that is going 40 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone. It always seems to happen in a single passing, non-passing lane. And I'm sitting there and I'm going 40 miles an hour. And I'm looking, and you know the first thing, and I know this sounds terrible, the first thing, and it's instinctive to my mind, is this guy is on his cell phone and he's texting, or this lady's on her cell phone and is texting. And then eventually I start get convicted about it. Well, maybe that isn't the case. Steve, don't be so quick to judge. Maybe it's just possible that this person is Grandma Moses and they can't see very well. Maybe it's possible that's as fast as the car can go. When that single passing lane goes into a double passing lane, or I get to pass them, I'm looking, and I don't know about you, but there's something inside of Steve that says, I want to know why they're so slow. Was I right in my initial instinctive reaction? Were they on the cell phone texting? So you know what I do is I pass and I'm looking at them as I'm continually to pass them, and I'm saying, I was right. But what did that really prove? All it really proved that Steve, there's unsafe drivers on the road, and I'm one of them because I lost my focus. And I tried to prove my focus by, prove my pride by acknowledging who was driving. Don't let that focus distract you from what is important. In Mark chapter 13, if you turn there with me, please. We all get preoccupied. We all lose focus of things that are often so unimportant. Was it important for me to see if they were texting? No, it wasn't important. Don't lose focus of the importance of your soul and the souls of others. The Lord knows these failures and these flaws in our lives, and not only reminds us to watch, but gives us a reason. Mark chapter 13, we'll begin reading in verse 32. Mark 13, 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, gave his authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, at midnight, or at cockcrowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Four times a warning, instruction is given. Verse 33, watch. Verse 34, watch. Verse 35, watch. Verse 37, watch. Do you think Jesus is trying to get across something that a person should be doing something? Don't get distracted. Don't lose your focus here. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready to meet Him? If not, you better make yourself ready. There's a scripture you need to see. It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. This falling away has already started. Where are the falling from? Where are they falling from? They have fallen from the truth that is found in Christ. Paul is saying, don't be surprised. Don't be worried over it. It's going to happen. But it doesn't have to happen to you and me. I want to give you some scriptures that if we listen to the instruction given, we won't be in that group. Moses had given some instruction to the children of Israel. The instruction is very specific. Unfortunately, what we are about to read is what is happening in the times that we are living in. If you would turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1, now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land of the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught or anything from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Do you see this happening today? I do. Believers are picking and choosing what commands the Lord they want to obey and what ones they want to ignore. They come home from Sunday service and have forgotten scriptures like, be holy, for I am holy, and found in 1 Peter 1:16, or Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Those are forgotten. Those aren't applied. Oh, those aren't important. Those are selective. They aren't. Verse 3, for your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you with statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which ye shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is all things that we call upon him for? What nation is so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as the law which I set before you this day? Only heed to thyself, take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, unless they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. I love the instruction that Moses gave in verse 9. He's saying, look at yourself. Make sure you are doing those things that God has told you. When God tells you something, when God shows you something from his word, where you are failing, don't ignore it. Don't deny it. Don't sweep it under the carpet. Diligently take care of it. Don't lose focus and fall. Jeremiah was a man that knew what it was to have the right focus. He looked at himself. He acknowledged his faults. And you know what he did? He did something that most people, A, don't want to do, and B, refuse to do. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. In verse 23, Jeremiah 10, 23. Jeremiah chapter 10, in verse 23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not with thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Do you ask the Lord to correct you? Why not? Why? Do you acknowledge, I've done something wrong? I've broken the law? I've gone the wrong direction? I'm scared of the punishment I might receive? You're not alone in that area. Psalm 6:1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy anger, neither chasten me thy hot displeasure. David is saying this. Again, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. And Habakkuk 3:2 says this, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember me, or remember mercy. Oh, friend, God loves you, and He does punish sin. Like a parent punishes or chastens his child, a loving father knows how to punish, knows how to chasten, knows how to love, knows how to forgive. He knows whether you're playing games or truly want your soul to be right. Turn to Him this morning. Acknowledge you're a sinner in the need for forgiveness. Acknowledge you're fallen. Don't let pride stop you. Ask for the forgiveness and He will. He will love you like the son or the daughter. But there's a purpose for the chastening of the Lord. A father chastens his son for a reason. If you would turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. No one likes to be chastened. I know that when I messed up my father's quarter panel, chastening wasn't a good thing to experience. Verse 11, Hebrews 12, verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. I can agree with that. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth in the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up holy hands, lift up hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Let the Lord heal those falls that you've had. Let His light expose those areas of sin. Let His strength break the chains this morning. I'd asked you earlier this morning to count the number of times a fall occurred. The answer? One less than the number of times you got up. What about you this morning? Can you say the same thing? Are you getting back up? In Proverbs 24:16, it says, "For a man falleth seven times and riseth again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." Don't be afraid to get up when you fall. Go to Jesus this morning. Go to Him with what He has told you about. The light has shown you a specific area and says, this is what's bothering you. This is what's causing you to fall. My light's shining on it. What are you going to do about it this morning? Will you soften the light of that by self-justification or pride and say, oh, it wasn't my fault, it was someone else's? Will you own up to it and say, yes, Lord, I'm guilty? What will you do with what the Lord shows you? It is your choice. No one else's. What would happen if that baby giraffe never got up? I saw that and I said, man, that giraffe sure wants to, has a lot of zeal to get back up again. Why? Just to fall? Again? No, that giraffe wanted to stand upright. There was a desire. I want to grow. You know what would happen if that giraffe just stayed there, didn't get up? He'd be bait for the buzzards. What will you do this morning? Will you take it to Jesus, what He's asked you about, what He's told you and He's shown you? We're going to have an invitation here. You can come up here and take your burdens to the Lord this morning. Or you can take, or don't, if you're scared of coming up, fine. Do it in your seats. But I ask, please, get these burdens, get these sins that the Lord's revealed to you. Or the things that you don't see as sin, but is breaking God's heart. Take care of them this morning. Don't be scared of falling. Get back up. That last verse, a righteous man falls seven times. He fell seven times. What kind of guy is going to fall seven times? He gets up every time. I'm going to do this. I'm going to depend on the Lord to get me through this. What will you do this morning? If you're fallen, get back up. If you don't know Christ as your Savior this morning, don't walk through those doors not knowing whether you're going to go to heaven or hell when you die. It's a choice that everyone has to make. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we stand before God on that day, He sees the blood of Christ, the sacrifice that was made for you and for me. Will you ask for that sacrifice? Will you ask for that forgiveness this morning? Will you turn from the way that He's telling you to? It's a choice. Please don't walk out those doors without making the right decision. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your mercy and grace that You have shown us. We thank You for that great sacrifice of Your Son dying on the cross for our sins. We are so unworthy for such a holy and perfect sacrifice. You show us Your great love through that. Father, if there's a person who doesn't know You as Savior, let Your Holy Spirit continually to speak to them until they come running to You. Be with us who have fallen. Help us to get back up, to be what You've called us to be. Strengthen our legs, strengthen our vision, strengthen our arms. Shine the light on our paths, shine the light on our lives that we can remove those things that hurt us, but more so that hurt You. In Your Son's holy name we ask it, Jesus' name, amen.